Sırrı din Fatih. Sırrı din Fatih. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in his mission statement, stated not only the reason why he's standing up, but also the method and the strategy that he will use in his mission. Not only is he saying why he's standing, but how he's standing. How he's going to do this, by saying Asiro Basirate Jaddi wa Abi. I will practice the sirat of my grandfather and my father. And by saying this, Imam Hussain focused our attention on the sirat of the Prophet and the sirat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And when we looked at the sirat of the Prophet Imam Ali, we saw that the sirat that they practiced, that their lifestyle and what they did in their lifestyle or in their life pointed out that most of the times, and you can see overwhelmingly, their life was full of compassion and care, love and kindness. This was their sirat. And Imam Hussain is saying that I will also, when I'm standing up against Yazid, I will be merciful, I will be kind, I will be loving. I won't be harsh, I won't be strict. And this was the sirat of the Prophet. To such an extent was this kindness shown in the life of the Prophet and Imam Ali and all of Ahlul Bayt. To such an extent that this was shown that people used to think and used to believe that the Prophet was naive, that he was simple-minded, that he wasn't sharp, that he wasn't someone who was cunning, someone who was a simple-minded person. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنٌ. They say that he is udhun. Udhun means ears. And this is a term that is used for someone who is easygoing. And you can say anything to him, he'll listen. Right? It's easy to get him, con him, fool him. It's like that. People used to think that. Why is it that they used to think like that? It's because of the fact that they are in their seerah so gentle with people, so kind with people, so nice with them, that they would take advantage of the Prophet. They would take advantage of him. To what extent did the Prophet go in order to be kind? This is something we need to understand from the seerah. When we hear Imam Hussain say this in his mission statement, then we'll understand why he's saying this. To what extent are they lenient? You'll see that. How lenient are they? I'll give an example. One of the wives of the Prophet complained to the Prophet that he's not giving her that much time. He's saying, you're not paying attention to me, you're not giving that much time. And that obviously wasn't true. The Prophet was giving her time, but it's just that she wanted more. Right? It's just that she wanted more time. So, you know, he was giving her time. So, in one of the discussions, while she was complaining, so Rasulullah, in order to appease her, in order to make her, you know, relaxed, say that, you know, it's alright, he said that, listen, it's all right. Soon your time is coming. Meaning, soon your time is coming, your father is going to be in charge of these people. Meaning your father will soon be the leader of these people. Right? So, don't worry, you'll get what you want. Right? Meaning, you know, it's time, it's hay time for you coming soon, you know? I mean, you know, this is your big jackpot coming. So relax. And when he said that, he told her that, listen, what I told you, do not tell anyone about this. Not even, don't even tell your father regarding this. No one, and not even your father. So obviously, you know, right away, when she heard that, she went to the other wife, who was her friend. And she told her what the prophet said. That he said that my father will be the leader of these people soon. Right? Now obviously, you know, they went and told their fathers. Right? And when the fathers heard this, when they heard that, now instead of thinking that he's saying I'll be the leader, because of the fact that they had been planning to take over, their guilty conscience came in the way, and they came to the conclusion that he's on to us. He knows about our plans. That's why he's mentioning this. He knows about our plans. He knows what we are doing. So now what they did is that in order to make sure that this doesn't get out to the people, they made a plan to assassinate the prophet. They made a plan to assassinate the prophet. So this happened on the way to the Battle of Tabuk. On the way back from there, they made a plan that they will, as Rasulullah was going to pass through a cavern, right? They made a plan that they're going to throw rocks at him from the top so that he would be killed. And it so happened that their plan was foiled and Allah exposed it. The lightning came and their faces were shown. And the only one who saw the faces was the Prophet, and one of the companions was with him, to whom the Prophet said, listen, do not tell anyone what you saw. And you don't expose them, don't reveal their names. And now when the people got to know about this, meaning the Muslims, when they got to know about the fact that there are people amongst us who are planning and who had planned to assassinate the Prophet, and they are criminals, they came to the Prophet and said, Rasulullah, reveal their names to us. Who are these people? Bring them to justice. And they had the right to say that. They said, this is our rule. You're the ruler. You're the leader. If someone wants to kill you, we want to punish them. According to the Islamic law, they should be punished. They are criminals. They should be punished. But you see that Rasulullah did not reveal their names. He died, but he did not say who these people were. My friend, to what extent are you going to be lenient? To what extent is Rasulullah going to be lenient? To the extent that it's going to harm him? Is going to hurt him? How far are you going to go in order to be lenient with people? See, understand this. Would we be able to tolerate that? Would we be able to go along with that? I mean, you're so gentle with them, so nice with them. How is that possible? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Usually what happens is that when you're dealing with a mu'min, this is a principle in life that you should remember. When you deal with a Muslim, when you deal with a mu'min, if you deal with him in a way that you are trying to trick him or con him, you will see that you will fail. You will fail. You will never get benefit out of that. Just look at your own life and see that, was there a time when you tried to trick someone, when you tried to like con a mu'min, you know, take advantage of him. Do something that you will get something out of it, a benefit out of it. You will see that any time that happens, there was never really a benefit in it for you. In fact, it was a loss. Because when you deal with a believer, when you deal with a mu'min, the principle is that be transparent with him. Be honest and open with him. This is the best way of doing things. Be honest with him. Don't try to trick him. Why? Because when you try to trick a Muslim, it is Allah who's protecting him and it comes back to you. This is what happens. And this is the reason why we see that, Mawlana, if we do that, then you'll want, people will take advantage of us. If we just let any mu'min, if we deal with them in a nice way, they'll take advantage of us. If we reveal our secrets, they'll take advantage of us. Yes, they will take advantage of you. They took advantage of Rasulullah. Are you better than him? They took advantage of Imam Ali. Are you better than him? My friends, the idea was that people thought they're naive, but the idea that Rasulullah and Imam Ali had was that no, the way our seerat is with Muslims and mu'min is that we will be gentle with them. And this is the reason why you see what type of people came around the Prophet. What type of people came around Imam Ali and they were hanging around him? It's not that the Messenger of Allah, Imam Ali, did not know who these people were. They knew exactly who they were. But because of their kindness and compassion, they kept them around. I'll give an example of one person. Right? Just as an example. And this is one of a person who was with Imam Ali. He was with Imam Ali. He was one of his companions. He fought in the battles alongside Imam Ali. And then, when we look at him and what happened with him, you see that he fought in the battles with Imam Ali, then he became a Khariji. Right? He became a Khariji and he fought against Imam Ali. At first he was with Imam Ali, then he fought against Imam Ali. Then after that, he was with Imam Hassan. He came and joined ranks with Imam Hassan. This one person, his name was Ash'as. His name was Ash'as. He joined hands with Imam Hassan. And then after that, he became one of those people who wrote letter to Imam Hussein to come to Kufa. And when Imam Hussein came to Kufa, he came in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd to kill him. He wrote the letter to Imam Hussein, and then he was in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd to kill him. After he was in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd, then he joined Mukhtar to take revenge of Imam Hussein. He joined Mukhtar to take revenge of Imam Hussein. And after that, he turned against him, and he was one of the people who killed Mukhtar. And after this illustrious life, he lived until he died a natural and peaceful death. I mean, just imagine, what kind of people are with Imam Ali? What kind of people are with the Messenger of Allah? Who are they tolerating? When we look at these people, then we understand how much tolerance they had with people. What kind of people they tolerated around themselves. It's because of the gentleness, because of their compassion, because of their leniency. I mean, we tell ourselves, listen, I don't want to make him my friend. I don't want to make him my friend. This guy is, you know, not good. But you see that how they dealt with Muslims, how they dealt with them. So lenient. Would we have tolerated that? This is where we need to see the seerat of the Prophet. This is where it becomes difficult. Many people find it difficult. The things that they did, they find very difficult. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And there are many examples of that. Why did Imam Ali rise up? Why did Imam Ali fight for his rights? You see that Imam Ali was so lenient with people. He let them have it. Oh, but you should have fought for it, you should have gotten it. But you see, Imam Ali was lenient with people. Let it be, let it be, let it be. How long are you going to let it be? To what extent are you going to let it be? Imam Hussein said, I am going to practice this seerat. Remember this seerat whenever you think of me. Why is this? He's saying this. Because when you look at that part of the seerat where the Prophet is lenient, and on the other side, it wasn't that he was lenient all the time. Yes, there were times when he was very strict. And when he was strict and when he was harsh, then people have a hard time understanding why is he harsh right now. An example. A woman was caught stealing. Something. And then we see that this messenger in his life, many cases came to him, and in many cases he forgave the criminals and went by it and all these things. It so happened. Many times he pardoned them. So many times that happened in his life. But this time he was adamant to punish her. He said, her hands have to be cut. Finished. And then you see many people came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, but you know, let her go, let her go. It's all right, you know, you can pardon her. He said, no, her hand has to be cut. Rasulullah was adamant. He was persistent that this has to be done. Finished. Many people came in order to try to sway Rasulullah to pardon this woman. And even, it's at that time where he said, even if my daughter did this, I would have done this. I have to do this, you know? This is where you find that hadith, in this incident. Now the reason, why was he adamant for this? Why was he so persistent? Let me just tell you that before I go on, so that you don't have a misconception. Why is Rasulullah being so hard right now? The reason he was hard at that time, and people didn't understand that, people came to him. The reason people were coming to him in order to try to pardon her is because she was from the elite people. He was from the elite of Medina, the rich people, and a big tribe. And that tribe was saying that, listen, if you do this to her, the whole tribe and all these people will turn against you. All of these people will turn against you if you hurt her. So now when that point came in the middle, that now they are threatening in order for me to practice the law of Islam and to enforce that law, now I will make sure that the law is enforced. See, this time, many times he has forgiven. Why can't he not? No, you see Rasulullah is saying no. Now in this place, he was so adamant to do that, people could not understand. Even his own friends were like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? In the life of Imam Ali, I'll give an example. Send aloud salawat. In the life of Imam Ali, we see an example. We see an example where two of his friends, well, one was very close to Imam Ali, and one was not that close, but he was from the group, you know, from, regarded as a Shia also. Right, he was there. These two people in the month of Ramadan were found drinking wine. Right, now who are these? These are people who are in Imam Ali's camp, right? In his camp, one of them was regarded as a close companion of Imam Ali. And everyone knew that this is Ali's person. The other person was not so close. These two people in the month of Ramadan were caught drinking. And then Imam Ali said that they have to be whipped. They have to be whipped. Finished. The law is that they were found, they did a crime, and so now the punishment has to be given to them. Finished. That's it. And now, when everyone heard this, that Imam Ali is going to do this, you see his own people, they came to him. His own Shias, his own people that are around him came to him and said, Mawla, don't do this. Don't do this. This will give a wrong message to our friends that Ali doesn't take care of his friends. On the other hand, you see Muawiyah, you know, he takes care of his friends. He would never do this to his friends. If they're caught drinking, he'll give them a beer. You know, and take it. Go ahead, have some on me. Right? He would do that. On the other hand, Imam Ali is not taking care of his friends. If you do this to them, you will see our people will run away. Your own people will run away. They'll think that, you know, Ali, if we work with him, if he is our leader, he doesn't take care of us. You see, they're advising him, Mawla, don't do this, don't punish them, let them go. You know, let it slide, you know, no one would know. No one would know. Imam Ali said, no. Now I will do it in public. I will do it in public, make sure everyone watches it. They're advising him, don't do this, Mawla, people will run away, they will go to Muawiyah. They will leave you and go to Muawiyah. In fact, others will go to Muawiyah because of this action of yours. But Imam Ali went ahead with it. And you know what happened? The same thing happened that the people warned him of. These two people left and they joined Muawiyah. After they were punished. They said, you know what? We don't want this. If he's our Imam, if he's our leader, if he's going to treat us like this, we'll go to Muawiyah. He's better. We'll go there. And we'll join his. And they went and joined him. And many others also, they decided, you know what? If Ali, if he is the Imam and this is how he's going to deal with us, then we don't want him. Let's go there. They all left. My friends, but Imam Ali went there. You see, this was a place. No one understood why Imam Ali is doing this. In conclusion, right here, what I want to say is this. What is this seerah? My friends, what is this seerah that we are talking about? Imam Hussein is talking about in such a sensitive and crucial time in the history of Islam that he's saying, Asiru bi seerat jaddi wa abi. I am practicing the seerah of my father and my grandfather. Why is he saying that? It's because of these two situations, my friend, in the seerah. Imam Hussein is telling us that in the seerah of the Prophet and my father, you will see those places and those situations where people who went through those situations, even the close Shias of Imam Ali, even the close companions of Rasulullah, could not understand, could not digest, were not able to stomach what Rasulullah is doing. And these two places and is where he was too lenient with people and where he was too strict with people. Two places in their seerah that we see that is so difficult that people who were there at that time had a hard time not only understanding what he was doing, but they turned against him. Is in these two places, in the leniency of Rasulullah and in the harshness and strictness of Rasulullah. And Imam Hussein is saying that, listen, if you look in the history of Imamat, if you look in the history of the Prophet, you will see it's these times when the Imam is either lenient or he is strict, that they are left alone by the people because people don't understand what they're doing. This is where people leave them alone. Even the close Shias leave them. They say, we don't understand what he's doing. We have no clue what he's doing. Right? Imam Hussein, you see, Imam Hassan made a treaty with Muawiyah. You see, his own Shias are saying, Ya Mudhill al Mu'mini. You know, I mean, you humiliated us. Look at you. You should be ashamed of yourself for doing such a thing. Those own Shias couldn't understand what he's doing. These are the places that Imam Hussein is saying that, listen, I and every one of us, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Rasulullah, were left alone at these situations. Even the close Shias could not understand these situations. So Imam Hussein is saying that look at the seerah and then look at those situations where Rasulullah was lenient and was strict so that you understand those situations and learn from them so that when our last Imam will come, when Imam Mahdi will come, that you should be so smart. You should be so well aware of these situations that if it happens with him, you will not leave him. This is why seerah is. Why is the seerah of Prophet so important? Because of the fact there are situations in that seerah where people could not digest it. They couldn't go along with it. And this is what we want to learn in the seerah. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When we look at the seerah of the Prophet, and when we see what is it in that seerah that is hard. Listen, two places are important, where he is lenient and where he is strict. Don't look at the easy part of the seerah. You know, there are places in the seerah that, you know, are easy and, you know, good. You see, don't look at the good places. You see, everyone wants good. Right? No one is against good. Right? Whenever you look at the seerah of the Prophet Imam, just look for the easy places, good places, you know? Yeah, one of the one of the brothers, you know, for example, you know, he went and, you know, he got another wife. So what happened is that, you know, the other brother, he was, you know, asking him, you know, why did you get another wife for? He said, Sunnah of the Prophet. You know, so he said, well, is that the only Sunnah you found to practice? You know, there's, you know, Namaz Isha, you know, Salatul Layl and all that. He said, I left those for you. You all do that. Do this. So when you look at the seerah, don't look at the easy aspects of it, you know. We are expected to do better than that. Don't look at the easy aspects. Everyone wants good, right? A criminal, a thief, right, wants a wife who's not a thief, right? No thief wants a wife who's a thief, you know. Yeah, they're looking for a wife who's a... No criminal wants a worker who's a criminal. They all look for honest people to work for, right? No one wants bad. Everyone wants good. So good is not what we are after, the easy part of the seerat. We are looking for those difficult places in the seerat. Those difficult places that when you look at those difficult places and you see that Imam Ali was left alone because he was in this situation. It was difficult. People could not understand it. They could not go along with it. Look at those places. Why? Because we are expected to do that. Imam, when they are looking, Imam Hussein, when he's looking at you, he's not looking at you as a stranger. He's looking at you as one of him. He says, you are one of us. When you learn from us, do not just learn the easy lessons. It's the difficult lessons you want to learn. That's what you want to learn. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when we look at the seerat, my friends, of Rasulullah Imam Ali, what is Imam Hussein trying to teach us? He says, you see these two places in the seerat that people have a hard time handling? These two places, look at them. And you see, why is it that even the close companions of Rasulullah Imam Ali could not go along with them? They left them. Why is it that they left them? Now let me just change the direction how I want to come, so you understand this better. You know, if you are, and Alhamdulillah, I think you know that if Imam Hussein were here today, and he stood up today, would you go to help him and fight for him? I would think so. Inshallah, that we have learned at least that much from these majalis and from this azadari, that we would be ready to go and fight for him. I would think so. Inshallah, the American dream hasn't blinded us that much that we will not listen to his call. Right? Hopefully that's our case, right? You know, inshallah we would, or are we still in doubt, you know, whether we will do that? Yeah. Inshallah we will do it, right? We will go to Imam Hussein, right? And we would, inshallah, fight for him. And inshallah, we have it in us, you know, after all of this learning and after all of this azadari, at least we have that much in us that we would give our lives for him. Right? At least we would do that, you know. And if you really believe so, let me send a loud salawat. When we look at this idea that we will help him, right? We would help him. When you want to help him, right? Imam Hussein is saying that it's good that you want to come and help me. You want to die for me. That's very good. But you know what? What Imam Hussein is saying, that's not enough. You see, this is where it gets difficult. My friends, standing up against zulm is easy. And here, really, what I'm speaking to, and the people I'm speaking to, I'm thinking that, you know what, these are the people who would be on the side of Imam Hussein. I'm speaking to such an audience, right? That's why I'm saying this. Right? If I was speaking to strangers, I wouldn't even touch the subject that I'm touching right now. I'm saying that to you because you want to give your life, right? That's why I'm saying this. And I want you to understand this, my friends. Standing up against zulm is easy. Really, it's easy. For a mu'min, for someone who wants to give his life for Imam Hussein, it's very easy to stand up against the Yazid of his time. Standing up against Yazid. Some people have a hard time. They can't even imagine coming close to Imam Hussein. So leave them alone. For those people who want to come to Imam Hussein and die for him, I'm saying standing up against zulm is easy. Going forward on the call of Imam Hussein and answering his call is easy. It's also easy. Giving your life for Imam Hussein is easy. Yes. For mu'min, it's easy. And nowadays, I mean, you know, I'm talking about post-Karbala. You know, we are the children of Karbala. We have learned from Karbala. It has taught us much more than the people of that time. We know much more now. So inshallah, it's easy for us to give our lives also. Are we willing to sacrifice our life here and our children? Yes, it's easy for them. We can say, Alhamdulillah. I think mu'mineen are ready for that. You see, all of this is easy. But you know what? There's something that Imam Hussein added into the mix that makes all of this difficult. All of this is easy. But what's difficult, that Imam Hussein is adding a wrench in the whole plan. Imam Hussein is saying, listen, giving your life for me is easy. Coming to the battlefield is easy. Giving your life away and sacrificing it is easy. Standing up against zulm is easy. But the difficult thing is that while you're doing all of this, is to maintain the seerat of Rasulullah. You see, this is what's difficult, Imam Hussein. This is difficult. Mawla, I would have come with my sword, with my gun, with whatever to fight for you. But in the mix, you're saying that now I have to do it on the practice and the seerat of Rasulullah, all of this? See, this is what's difficult. This is why Imam Hussein is mentioning. He said, all of shahadat is easy for you. But you know what? While giving your life and while doing this, are you maintaining the seerat of Rasulullah? Are you maintaining the seerat of Imam Ali? See, this is where it gets difficult. That's why Imam Hussein is saying, Asiru bi seerati jaddi wa abi. He says, this is where a mu'min is known. This is where someone who's known, who will be with Imam Zamana and his army. Because they will practice that seerat. They will have that seerat with them. This is what's difficult. Salawat ala Muhammad. Allahumma salam Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Just want to say some things more, but I think inshallah, God's going in anyway. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salam ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When you look at Ghadir, you see, in the khutbah of Ghadir, I don't know if you have read the khutbah of Ghadir, you should. It's a very long khutbah, a sermon of Imam, of Rasulullah, that he gave in Ghadir. And obviously when we hear the majalis, we only hear one line, Man kuntu ma'ala fa'adhalin ma'ala, and that's it. But the khutbah itself is about 1 hour long. Right, and in that khutbah, one of the things that Rasulullah said to the people, he said that, listen, I know who amongst you are going to turn back on what I'm saying. I know those people who are munafiqeen amongst you, who are hypocrites amongst you. I can point them out right now and tell them, this is the one, that is the one, that is the one. These people are munafiq. I can tell you right now. Can you imagine it? I can tell you right now, but I'm not going to. Can you imagine this? These are the very people who are going to turn against what he's saying and will isolate Imam Ali to the side, and they will take over Islam and cause a damage that for centuries is going to go on. Without any repair. So if you know such people, why don't you reveal them so that we all know and protect the cause that you came for. Protect the deen that you came for. Protect it. Safeguard it from centuries of damage. And we see the damage. We are living how many years after it? 1400 years? We see the damage now. How much damage is it causing? If Rasulullah had revealed those people, listen, this guy, grab all of them, bring them here. If he had done that, it would have been done, right? It would have been finished. And you know what? There won't be any damage. No one would be in the way of Imam Ali. And you know what? Alhamdulillah, Islam would continue peacefully. And who knows what would have happened. And Rasulullah is saying in his khutbah that I know the very people who will turn against me. These are the people who will turn against me. But I will not tell their names. I will not reveal them. Rasulullah, reveal them. Tell them to us so that your deen will be protected. Islam will be protected. He says, no. I would rather let Islam be harmed and this cause be harmed and Imam Ali isolated than sacrifice my principles and the usul of Islam. How can we understand this? If we were there, what would we say? If we had the chance, you know what I mean? For example, you work hard to make a home for yourself, a family, wife and children and everyone, right? You work so hard to make a family. If you had a chance to protect them from the near future, I don't know, insurance or whatever you want to do. And you know what? You don't do that and you put them at risk. Would you do that? Put them at risk because of the fact that it goes against your principles. And this is the cause that Allah sent him with. And he is saying that no, the principles are more important. This is the very cause. This is the cause. If I sacrifice my cause, inshallah, we'll just stop here. If you all can move forward and say salawat, people are coming in and hard time coming inside. Salawat. Come forward, brothers. My friend, someone who is able, who can protect his cause, is giving up that protection in order to protect his values. You see, this is where the seerah becomes hard. How far are you going to go to protect these people? To be lenient with them. Be harsh with them. Get them out. Show them to the people so we can take care of them. No. Why? Because the values of Islam will be compromised. I don't want that. It's very hard. It's very difficult. You see, this is where Islam becomes difficult. This is where the seerah becomes. Imam Hussein is saying that while you're giving shahadat, maintain this seerat. This is why seerat is important. Anyone can, you know, go forward and take a sword and be violent and threaten people, this and that. No. Imam Hussein says, I don't want such people. I want people who can maintain that sort of seerat. This is why Imam Hussein is mentioning seerah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now some, obviously we have some people who because of their unaware, they don't know history, they have no clue what's going on. They say that, well, if Rasulullah had exposed them, if he had revealed them, then these people were so strong at that time, and they had so much influence at that time, that they would have killed his family. Meaning that these people had become so strong, that's why Rasulullah didn't expose them. Because he knew if he exposed them, they would kill his family. And obviously, these people don't know. What did they don't know? The fact that, did Rasulullah reveal their names or not? Tell me. Did Rasulullah reveal the names of these hypocrites or not? No, he didn't. Did those hypocrites end up killing his family or not? So even when he did, they killed his family. Even when they didn't, they came and burned the house of Fatima, right? When the house was burning, there's one voice everyone heard. There's one voice that everyone was hearing when the house was burning. That came from inside the house. That voice was saying, Ana Fatima, I am Fatima. I am Fatima. She was crying out. Right? They didn't pay attention, right? This is what happens, my friends. It's difficult. You know, what the people had done, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In one hadith said that what these people did to Fatima, what they did to my grandfather Ali, Imam Sadiq was saying that. He's saying that they couldn't have done worse than what they did. It couldn't have been worse than what they have done. Meaning they couldn't have done anything worse than that. This is it. This was the worst that they could have done, and they did it. Can you imagine that? What happened with them? They did it. So these people, they were going to do it anyway. So why compromise your values for that? This is what Rasulullah is saying. My friends, it's very hard when you see the goal is in sight and to stop at that goal. Because why? Because your value depends on it. You know, try to be in the shoes of Malik Ashtar when he was almost at the neck of Muawiyah, and Imam Ali says, stop. He hears the news. Imam Ali said, stop the war. Stop the battle. Malik is saying, yeah, let Muawiyah stand right there. Let me just get to him. The scoundrel, I mean, he's right here. Let me get to him. You know, let me put some earplugs on so I can just say, yeah, I didn't hear what you said. He could have said that, you know, because Imam Ali is way there in his stand. He's over here. Imam, I mean, you know, like for example, it's only 10 feet away. Let me just go there, kill him. And they say, Mawla, I didn't hear what you said. You know, alhamdulillah, the job is done. Right? You could have said, I mean, but you see, what made him stop? What made him stop? It's the value. The values that Islam has. I know the hukum now. Finish, it's over. I can't go forward. See, this is where it's difficult, my friends. And Imam Hussein is saying that you want to be with me? Shahadat is very easy, but following the seerat is hard. That's why I want you to learn the seerat and know the seerat, so that when my son will come, then he will not have the same problems that we had. He will have those people who understand the seerat. Subhanallah. Seerat of the Prophet and Imam Ali is hard to digest. It's very difficult. Islah is easy. You know, when Imam Hussein said, I want to do Islah, alhamdulillah, we all want to do Islah. We all want to reform. We all want to become better. We all want to do good. Amar bil ma'ruf nahil munkar is also very easy. It's easy. We do that all the time. Alhamdulillah, we are doing it and we want to do it. But what's difficult, when Imam Hussein put the wrench in everything and put that restriction, is that on top of this, asiro bi sirati jaddi wa abi, the sirat of my father and my grandfather, follow that. I am following it, you should follow it. This is where it's difficult, my friends. Now you understand this, why Imam Hussein is mentioning sirat. Tomorrow, inshallah, I will go into the depth of what the sirat is. Right? With some examples and all that will come. But it's difficult. The sirat is difficult. Everything was easy for us. Alhamdulillah, we have learned how to give shahadat. We have given many shahadat. And we see the Shias, how much shahadat they are giving through their history, and even today. Where did they learn this lesson of shahadat from? We learned it from Karbala, we learned it from Imam Hussein, we learned it from Ashura, right? We learned all the shahadat. And we're giving it. But you see, what's difficult for Shias, what they have to learn in order for Imam to come back, is to establish the Sirat of Rasulullah. This is what's difficult. This is very difficult. People could not die, even the best could not digest it. Imam Ali, for 25 years, he let them have the government, right? Everyone, they had the government, they were running it, he wasn't saying anything, he wasn't a part of it, he let it be. But when he became the ruler, when he became the ruler, he was fighting against Muawiyah. Abdullah ibn Abbas came to him and said, Mawla, listen, for 25 years you didn't care about hukumat. and now you're worried about one province? Let it be. Let's establish ourselves, make ourselves stronger. We'll deal with them later. What would you say at that time? For 25 years, you didn't care about government. You let them have it. And now for one province, you are destroying your own government. You're weakening your own government. You see, my friend, it's difficult. It's these stages that are difficult. That's why in the seerat is so important to learn for a Shia, if he wants to be, if each Shia wants to be with our Imam. If you want to be with them. If not, alhamdulillah. You know, let's take a break and have fun. Right? But if you want to be difficult, this is difficult. So how are we going to do this? Really, it's difficult. How are we going to do this? When the close companions were not able to understand this, when the close companions could not understand, how are we going to understand this? Imam Hussein is saying that if I told you to follow the seerat of Rasulullah and Imam Ali, I will give you the medicine for that also. You know what? Imam Hussein is saying that I will help you to get there. I will help you to get there. Imam Hussein is not just saying for you to follow it. Imam Hussein is saying that I will take you there. I will take you there. This is why we hold the hand of Imam Hussein and say that, Imam Hussein, please help us to get there. It's too difficult for us. You help us to get there. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, it's a, you know, it goes well with my speech. No, I'm saying this because there was a time when Imam Hussein was a toddler and he came and sat in the lap of Rasulullah. Rasulullah, when he saw Imam Hussein, he saw him sit there on his lap. He says, he told him, "Anta zinatu arshallah." He says, "You are the beauty of the arsh of Allah. You are the beauty of the arsh of Allah, throne of Allah." Oh. Imam Hussein, he was little, looked up to Rasulullah and said, "Grandfather, when will I be the zenith and the limelight of Allah's throne while you are here and you are the light?" And Rasulullah replied back to him and said, "Let me tell you what I have read in the heart of the throne." You know, the heart of the throne, when you look at the throne of Allah, the arsh of Allah, the heart of it, Hussein, you know what's written there? So what is written there? He says, "Hussein, Misbahul Khuda wa Safinatul Najat." Hussein is the means of guidance. Hussein is the ark of salvation. Hussein, you are the one. You will take these people to salvation. That's why Allah has written your name there. You will take that. Subhanallah. How will Imam Hussein go there? How will he take them there? Who can understand Imam Hussein? Imam Hussein said, "I followed the seerat of the Prophet and Imam Ali." Who understands Imam Hussein? You know, one person who understood Imam Hussein, in fact, the one who understood him the most, the one who could have seen him the furthest, the one who went along with him the most, you know who it was? It was Zainab. It was Zainab. Zainab went along with Imam Hussein. She saw things that were so further away that Imam Hussein could see that she saw. And that's why you see Imam Hussein, when he was with Zainab, there was a level of comfort that he had that he did not have with anyone else. It was with Zainab that he had this comfort. Imam Hussein is the zenith of the arsh of Allah. And Zainab is the zenith of Ali. Really. Subhanallah. Kufa and people of Kufa they did a grave injustice with Imam Ali when they dragged Zainab in the streets of Kufa. Really, they did an injustice with Imam Ali that when they dragged Zainab on the streets of Kufa. Can you imagine that? That is the same place that Ali lived. Ali ruled here. He had some respect and honor here. He had a place here. And to have his family and to have his daughter being dragged in the streets like a prisoner, like a spectacle. Can you imagine these Kufans? They should at least have the shame that, listen, Ali has a place here, a face here. If no one knew Ali, maybe we could understand. But there's a place that Ali had here. And now Zainab is being brought in that situation. But Zainab is saying that I am the zenith of Ali. You know why? Maybe here's a wisdom I can give you by which you can understand this better. You know, there are many things that Imam Ali could not say to the people of Kufa. There's many things that Imam Ali could not say. For many reasons he could not say it. Sometimes it happens. I can't say everything openly. People are not ready. The circumstance is not there. The situation is not right. I can't say everything. Many things Imam Ali did not say to the people of Kufa. Did not teach the people of Kufa. Because the situation was not there. The circumstance was not there. So you know what? Zainab is saying, if I'm the zenith of Ali, I will find the right situation where I will speak those things that Ali could not have spoken. Zainab spoke that to the people of Kufa. Zainab was there for that. Can you imagine this? I'm just saying this so that you understand what, who can go along with the Imam? Who has the vision to go along with the Imam? You know, just one thing I will mention, and inshallah, you know, from there we will go on. Just one thing I will mention, you know. When Abdullah came to drop off the children, Aun and Muhammad, to Imam Hussein. You know, Hazrat Zainab did not go to meet him. Right? She didn't come outside. Neither did Abdullah ask why. You know, even Abdullah did not ask, why is Zainab not coming out to meet me? People make all kinds of justification, you know, she didn't want to go back with him, this and that. Now Abdullah is the husband of Zainab. He knows Zainab very well. His respect and honor for Zainab is that he would never take Zainab away from her brother. He would never do that. Why didn't Zainab come back? Do you want to hear this? Really? Then understand, why didn't she come back? Why didn't she come in front of Imam Hussein? You know, this is how far she sees Imam Hussein. This is how far she sees her Imam. How far into the Imam she looks. The reason Zainab did not come out is because she was afraid that Imam Hussein would thank her. That she would look at her and say, thank you for increasing these two soldiers in my army. You brought your sons over here. Zainab did not want to put Imam Hussein in that situation where he would be thanking her. That she would feel that he's indebted to her. She didn't want the Imam to be indebted to herself. That's why she abstained from coming out, that Hussein, I don't want you to thank me for this. Can you imagine that thought? My friend, you know, you have started crying. I hope your tears are not dried up. I hope your tears are not dried up. Well, if they are, don't worry. You know, because I'm going to speak about someone who has cried so much that he has cried for you and me put together. Yes, he has cried so much. You know, Zainul Abidin. He's the zenith of all the Abidin, those who worship Allah. In Ziyaratul Jamia, it is said about the Imams, and this is the Ziyarat which you read at the grave of every Imam. When you go to them, you read this, it is said that you are the ones, meaning the Ahlul, the Imams, you are the ones who have done the Ibadat of Allah, Hakka Ibadihi, to what is deserving of Allah's Ibadat. You know, when we pray, but our Ibadat is not worthy of Allah. It's not worthy, it's not deserving of what Allah has given us. You tell to the Imam that your ibadat is that which is deserving of Allah's ibadat, you have done that sort of an ibadat. And this is all the imams. And if you look at the imams and the ibadat they have done, no one can match that. To be the zenith amongst them, imagine what you would have to be. Imagine what you would have to be the zenith and the ornament and the beauty of all the imams. This is Zainul Abideen, you know. Imam Zainul Abideen has cried a lot. For all his life he cried. And there's certain things that, you know what, I will tell you. You shouldn't be asking Imam Zainul Abideen, you know. Ask him, yes. There was someone who asked him, where is the hardest time that you had in this ordeal? He said, Asham, Asham, Asham. But stop there, stop there. You know what you shouldn't ask him? Don't ask him what he saw in Sham. Don't ask him what he witnessed in Sham. You know why? Because it would be too much for him. It would be too much for Imam Zainul Abideen to answer that. Some things you don't want to do in front of Imam Zainul Abideen. Why? Because the situation is such that you won't do it in front of him. You won't do it in front of him. The seerat of Imam Sajjad is that whenever he drank water, he would be crying. Whenever he saw people drinking water, he would be crying, you know? This is the seerat. Every time he saw someone drink water, he cried. What is he being reminded of? What is he being reminded of when he's drinking water? Can you imagine what is going through his heart and mind? Friends, understand who Imam Sajjad is. And that's why I want to tell you this. Imam Sajjad, what he went through and what he was at that time. You know, it was hard for Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad became an imam in a situation that no other imam became imam in. A situation where you see that he was woken up from his illness, his unconscious state. He was woken up. And all he saw were the women, the Ahle Haram, the Haram of Rasulullah, and they're all looking at him and said, son, wake up, tell us, what should we do? Should we die in the tents or should we go outside? Imagine this, Imam Sajjad became an imam in this situation. Imam Sajjad is in this situation. You know, let me tell you what's hard. You know, sometimes, you know, if your father dies and your mother dies and your brothers die and everyone die in one day, it's very shocking, and you know what? It's very hard to get over it. You have a psychological problem, and you see everyone of your family died. They die, you know what? And then, you know what? In order to ease the pain, you know what they say? You should take away all the memories away, so that when, you know, like if he looks at something that reminds him of them, again, you see that burn, that grief will come back to him. It will haunt him more. So you take those things away from the house, from the place where you see that he will look at those things and he will be reminded of that grief that he would see them of the loss that he had. But you know what they did to Imam Sajjad when he lost his family? They put him up in front of his eyes on top of spears. They put up the heads of his father and his brothers so that Imam Sajjad, every time he would look up, he would be reminded of that loss that he had. He would be reminded of the loss that he had. This is how they treated Imam Sajjad. This is how they treated Imam Sajjad. Everyone, you want to know Imam Sajjad, inshallah, you have begun to cry. And inshallah, may Allah give you more tawfiq and may He give you this guidance. And inshallah, through these tears, inshallah, may Allah make all of you such that Imam Sajjad could say that you are my zenith. This is what we pray for. Imam Sajjad, we ask you that. But you know what? Imam Sajjad, really, what he went through and what he had to face is something that is unbearable. No one can even imagine what Imam Sajjad had gone through. Imam Hussein dealt with tragedy for one day. Imam Sajjad had to deal with it for a whole lifetime. Only those people who have ghairat can understand Imam Sajjad's musibat. Really, they can understand. You know, Imam Hussein was very worried about this situation Imam Sajjad would be in. He was very worried about this. Even before Karbala, even before he reached Karbala, Imam Hussein in his vision saw what would happen afterwards, and he was worried that, you know what, Imam Sajjad would be in a very precarious situation. I I have soldiers like Abbas and Ali Akbar who I know will not break down. But the situation was different. In front of swords, I have full trust in Abbas and Ali Akbar that they will be honorable in their stand. But with Imam Sajjad, his fight will be difficult. And the people who will be in a much difficult situation. That's why you see Imam Hussein gathered his family. This is before Karbala. He gathered his family together in a tent before they even reached Karbala. And in an advice that he gave to them, he said that, La taqul. He says, do not say. Right? He says, La tas'al wa la taqul. He says, do not ask. And do not say, Ma yanqasu qadrakum, what will lower your qadr and your situation in front of the people. He says, when I die, when I will go away, when I will become shaheed, do not spread your hands in front of people. Do not ask them for anything. Do not say anything to them that will lower your position in the eyes of people. Imam Hussein is looking that far, you see. He is looking at the time when Imam Sajjad will be surrounded by little children. And you know what? Imam Sajjad was left in a situation where now what he had to do is to carry this mission, is to make sure that this flag and this mission reaches Sham. And it reaches there also at the same time protecting his own self-respect, dignity, and the dignity of his caravan. That was hard for him. That's why you see, this is the training of Ahlul Bayt, and the children are there. They could break down in front of hardship. You know what hardship they went through? Someone came and brought food for them. Someone came and brought food for them. Sakina is hungry. Children are hungry. Sakina is hungry. They have no food. Someone brought food for them. You know, a child who's so hungry when he sees food, would he ask where it comes from? Would he ask, you know, what's behind this food? He will say thank you and he will eat it. Someone gave him food. But you know what? When this food was given to Sakina, she said, what is this? The other person said, this is sadaqah. This is sadaqah. And Sakina said, Ammati taqulu anna sadaqatun muharramatun alayna. He says, my aunt Zainab told me that sadaqah is haram on us. We do not take this sadaqah. Take it away. Can you imagine this? This is what children are facing. Imam Sajjad how has to make sure that no child spreads his hand in front of aged people. Make sure that they maintain their dignity. And Imam Sajjad had to go through that. You know how he had to go through? He had to go through seeing how Sakina was being slapped and not being reactionary to that and to hold that within himself. This was difficult for Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad's battle was much more difficult than Imam Hussein. To see Sakina go through that, to see the children go through that, Imam Sajjad's battle asked him what he went through. What did he go through? That's why Imam Hussein, when he came on Ashura to Sajjad, he said, my son, your battle is far longer than my battle. I will be gone today. You will be living with this pain for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you will be living in this pain. Imam Sajjad, as he goes through this, now you want to hear the musibah. Imagine this. In his own self, there is physical pain of the chains that are around him. He is still sick, but the chains are in his hands and his feet. And you know what? They put a neck brace made of wood that is heavy. But the wooden stick, when they put it up, it fell down. And then they tried to put it up again, it fell down again. They came to Shimon and said, it's not sticking up. He says, drive in nails. Don't you see that? Drive in the nails, it'll stick up. We don't need him alive anyway. They drove the nails inside of his neck, and the nails were holding this neck brace. And if that wasn't enough, they made him walk with that. And when he was walking, now you see they put thorns inside on his way so that he would step on those thorns. And those thorns would go inside his soles. And the pain would make him wince in a natural way. He would be in pain and wincing in pain. But at the same time, you see Imam Hussein's head is in front of him. And at the same time, Zainab and Umm Kulsum are sitting in front of him.
Imam Sajjad. In what way did he go there? And you know what? They saw the weakness of Sajjad. They said, who is this person? He says, he's the only male in this family and we're taking him alive. And they said, alright, so be it. But then they saw that Imam Sajjad would fall down and he would stop. And everyone would stop to make him... They stopped in order to make him walk again. And then he would stop again because the pain, one in the neck, he's ill, he's sick. And then the thorns in his feet are hurting him such that, you know what, he would walk a few steps, he would fall down. He walk a few steps, he'll fall down. He will take his time getting up because he's sick. And they would come and whip him in order to get him up. They said, get up and get up. They'll whip him until he gets up. He would get up again and he would walk. And then you know what? Every time they would hit him, you see Sakina would cry. Sakina would be crying. And she would see his pain and she would cry more. And Shimra saw this relationship between the two. He saw this relationship between the two. And now, whenever Sajjad used to fall down, whenever Imam Sajjad used to fall down, and they used to whip him, he says, wait a minute. I know what makes his engine run. I know what will make him walk again. He would go to Sakina, and he would start slapping her, and said, until he doesn't get up, I'll keep beating her up. Imam Sajjad went through that, you know, he went through that. And then that same girl that used to cry, you know, Imam Sajjad would be in pain for her more than his own self. As a brother, he would want to hold her so that she could be comforted in that pain, but he didn't have even the choice to do that. There would be times on the way that we see, there were times on the way when the caravan would come to a stop. They would come to a stop and they would leave them, tie Imam Sajjad up so he cannot move his hand. They would leave them in one place, the woman would be gathered in another place. Sakina, you know, when the night would come and everyone goes to sleep, she would crawl her way. She would crawl her way through the ladies. She would crawl her way until she reaches the feet of Imam Sajjad. And every night when they used to stop, she would hold up the feet of Imam Sajjad and take out the thorns that are inside his feet. And she would cry so much that she would wash his feet. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. What is musibat is this on Ahlul Bayt? What kind of musibat is this on Ahlul Bayt? Imam Sajjad would be looking at Sakina in such a way that Sakina, if my arms were open, I will hold you. I will hold you and I will comfort you, Sakina. But what can I do? My arms are not open. Imam Sajjad remembers that. Now let's move to Sham. When Sham came and that fateful time came when Sakina was holding the head of Imam Hussein and hugging the head of Imam Hussein, and the lady saw Sakina crying to such an extent that Imam Sajjad knew. He came near Sakina, pulled the head away from her, picked her up and said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he put Sakina in the ground. Imam Sajjad went through that also. After all the tragedies that he went through, Imam Sajjad, 35 years he lived. 35 years he lived. And you know what? Though every minute of those 35 years, how many things would he avoid to avoid the remembrance of Imam Hussein and the grief of the loss of Hussein? Every time he would see a butcher slaughter a sheep, he would say, did you give water to the sheep? Did you give water to the sheep? The butcher would say, yes, I'm a follower of the ummah of your grandfather. I gave water to the sheep before I slaughtered it. Then he said, then you are good. Because you know why? My father was killed without water. My father was killed without water. My friends, after 35 years, Imam Sajjad is leaving us today. Imam Sajjad is leaving us today. Can you imagine what Imam Baqir is going through right now? Can you imagine what Fatima is going through right now? All I will say is that Imam Sajjad, after 35 years as he is leaving, on the day that he is leaving, he is poisoned also. And he's suffering from the poison. And he's dying from the poison. But you know what? How can he cry for himself? How can he cry for himself? Even then he remembered what happened. And you know what he remembered? You know what he remembered? But Imam Sajjad remembered at the end. After all the hardships that he went through, what he remembered at the end, what he remembered was the head of Ali Asghar on the spear. Everything he could get over, but how can they cut the head of my son, my brother Ali Asghar, like that? What wrong has he done? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا محمود بحق محمد، يا علاء بحق علي، يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطر، يا محسن بحق حسن، يا قدام الأحسان بحق حسن. الله give us the توفيق to be on the right paths. Use the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of Allah. Make us his help when he comes. Matam Hussain.
Y'all say.